Hey, you are an awakening wonder. This is Stay Free. This is where we come to talk about freedom, how to become free individually, inwardly, externally, how our freedom relates to the freedom of others and how freedom is our element. It is as water is to a fish, and we cannot be free when we are surrounded on all sides by systems of control and condemnation. Thanks. It's new. Cheers, guys.
How's it feel?
Appreciate it. It's silky,
silky
on the skin, baby. I feel like Lenny Kravitz in this.
Yeah.
My nipples are as hard as little Tic Tacs.
Little bullets, are they?
They're as hard as a minion's skull. Oh, you could tap, tap, tap on them. If you're watching this on YouTube, why not? We have 6.4 million Awakening Wonders on YouTube, and we love you over there, but we've got to invite you to join us over on Rumble. Why? Because we're going to be talking to a proper doctor, a proper one, not a doctor who tells you they're a doctor and then they say it's of archaeology or something that can't help you when you're coughing up something on an aeroplane. We're going to be talking about Russiagate and the Durham Report, how it indicts Obama and Clinton, probably both of them. Jimmy Carter probably was somehow involved in it. I don't know what to do anymore. We're going to learn a lot more about the lady they're calling the new Fauci.
Mm.
The new Fauci, because she was. She's the head of the NIH.
The new one. Well, that's his Biden's pick anyway, yeah.
Pick by Biden, what can go wrong?
Mm.
Pick by Biden.
In much the same way, do you remember when he picked his defense secretary and there were certain ties to, well, you could say...
Okay, if you're going to be defense secretary, I want to know that when it comes to matters of the military-industrial complex, weapons manufacturers, you've not had anything that might compromise you. No, it doesn't compromise me.
No.
Doesn't compromise me at all. I used to work for them. I work for them still.
All right.
We've got a lot of information for you, as well as telling you the truth about the way that the power functions, the way that these systems operate. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Because do you know what the devil don't like? Devil don't like being mocked, gal.
No.
Devil don't like being mocked. Devil wants you serious.
Mm.
Yeah?
Not us.
We don't want you serious. No. We want you free. Your freedom is our business. Let's have a look at another man who seems to be a thorn in the side of the establishment. Elon Musk refusing to be normal on sort of Texas telly, as far as I can tell. I didn't know they had a particular Texas TV show, but here, you'll have seen this. Have you seen this on social media? Have you seen it on his citadel of truth? That is Twitter. Look at this. This is Elon. Like, he's only just done his sicky mouth interview with Macron, you know, like where he was talking to Macron the night after his dad dancing. A lot of your comments. By the way, join us in locals. If you press the red button, you can join us in the locals chat. People said, like, Whaler went, loved your musky dad dancing. More, please. I actually thought that was me trying my hardest across as sexy.
Yeah, I know. I noticed.
But dad dancing.
Yeah.
It was hard. I needed the visual reference. He wasn't on screen.
I thought once you got up, maybe you immediately regretted it.
A bit did. It did a bit because I was up then, but it's too late now.
It's too late. Got to commit to it.
It's like these bloody wars. Okay. Oh, well, we're in this war in Afghanistan. Might as well stay in 10 years. Oh, well, we've started to fund Ukraine efforts on the world. Hundreds of thousands of people are dying. Might as well keep doing it. Yeah. Well, that lady, Whaler, at Whaler, who could be a lady or a man, actually, or any other kind of gender identity, I don't mind. Or at Beasting, who would be the best dancer, Biden or Trump? Like, Trump owns his bad dancing.
Well, we already know how Trump dances.
Like that.
It's that one where he does that thing, doesn't
it? Yeah, and it's good and it's
actually brilliant.
And Biden, I don't know, like, I feel like some chalky bone dust would fly off in your eyes. You get wristy bone dust. Go, go, girl. What's the worst situation you've been in, like Elon and Macron? Like, when you're too high to do an interview or something? Drugs
allegedly
are bad. Drugs are bad. Like, I don't know. I've been in a lot of situations where, like, I've been, not necessarily because of... I once woke up and I was in a room full of refugees. I didn't know how I got there.
Right.
That was confusing.
Yeah. It had something to do with things that you shouldn't be taking, doesn't it?
The previous day,
yeah.
I had been taking things. I just remember that I'd been out, and then when I woke up, I was in everyone... You know when Indiana Jones gets chased by people because he's been stealing, actually, their sacred artifacts, which he shouldn't have been doing, should he?
No.
Like, we're all on Indiana Jones' side. If he's stealing them eggs, for example, in Temple of Doom, that was sacred to those villages.
Oh, I know. You wanted the Nazis to have them, did you? Oh, now it comes out.
Why not let that lovely gentleman with the badge burn into his palm?
Oh.
Hasn't he got any rights?
A lot's being revealed here.
I was against those Nazis. Right. I was on Indy's side. Mm. I'm just saying he's stealing the treasures and antiquities of the tribal people of whatever country that was.
It's true what the newspapers say.
Also, it's not true. They're trying to bring us down because we're telling you the truth and they hate us. They can't handle the truth. But we thought we could handle the truth till we met Robert Kennedy. Then we realised we can handle most of the truth.
A bit of truth.
Not all of it.
No.
We can handle the bit where it's saying stuff like, that's convenient that they introduced all those regulations. Oh, that was quite a profitable measure. That's an interesting wealth transfer that took place in the last couple of years. When it starts going, the military...
Allegedly.
The whole thing...
Allegedly.
The RFK interview is available on Rumble right now. You can watch it. If you think you can handle the truth, baby, you must be joining us for a reason. Click that red button. Join us on Locals and hit us on the chat. Kelly P says, sweet! Lady Grayfer, he goes, if it was a white tiger shirt, I'd have to have one. I ride a tiger 900. I don't know what that means, type of motorbike. This is Durga, the goddess of feminine power, that is a tattoo I've got. She rides a tiger too. I once did some sort of spiritual talk somewhere in Italy.
Okay.
Place where, who's that cunning devil?
Regular life you've got, isn't it?
Regular guy. Tonight, Eton. The other day, Machiavelli's Palace in Tuscany.
Yeah.
I was at like Machiavelli's Palace in Tuscany.
Right.
And like,
man of the people. He's the one to follow, guys.
How are we going to bring people together? How are we going to change the world if I don't go to Machiavelli's Tuscan Palace?
Course.
I was doing a talk anyway, and this scholar of the Vedas, like the Vedic literature that founds the faith of, that is broadly referred to as Hinduism, said, which aspect of Durga is that? Because this is Durga, the goddess. Which aspect of Durga is that meant to be, she said. And I was like, leave it out, mate. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you can't
leave
do
it
that
out.
At Machiavelli's house. You can't, just can't say stuff like, leave it out. Right.
Machiavelli would. Oh, well, he'd be do some skullduggery, wouldn't he?
I see.
Machiavelli, Art of War, things that you're supposed to have read that I've not got round to.
No.
Short, though, like the Art of War. It's only 50 rules.
Nice references.
Can
nice
win
references.
A war. All nice and quick.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Hey, listen to this, guys. That's a fantastic point. Is Elon going to be reined in by this new WEF committee member, or is it going to be good for the profits? Look at this. Biology always wins. We are going to ask your question, but I cannot say it out loud now. Ask Dr. Bob, why are they keeping women who are having X or late-term X, if they, why they have a gag order saying it's X? In 2020, it was down, and in 2021, it jumped up 500%, latest 623%. I am going to ask Dr. Bob that question. Join us in the Locals chat, and you'll see what Biology Always Wins is asking us and why I am reluctant to read it out loud. Very contentious question. Is this some stuff about that lady from the WEF? She chairs a committee. According to her LinkedIn, she's been involved with the WEF since 2019, chairman of the Task Force on Future Work.
I'd really like to get to this tweet. It won't take long at all, but about the Russiagate report, just to show you the tweet about the fact that Obama and Joe Biden seem to be involved in this as well now.
Yeah, let's have a look at the tweet. Right, Gal, talk us through this. Why this is an important
story. Yeah, well,
story.
This is amazing because this is like based upon the Dawn report. Obviously, we've touched on this and we kind of know about the collusion. We know the broad strokes of it, but it seems that more people are involved than we...
One person has said no, but they've said just to see if we counted it. And that's from Mr. Martindale. So
we've got a tweet
that
here.
The Durham report also involves Obama and Hillary Clinton. It's not just the FBI have been... like the FBI said that didn't they investigate Russiagate, as we've told you already, it didn't seem necessary. There was no evidence. It was unrequired. They dragged on that time. But why? What's the proof that Clinton and even Obama are somehow involved
so
in this, mate?
So this literally is contained within the report. According to the Dawn report, the plan by Hillary Clinton to create a false story linking Donald Trump to Russia was briefed in August 2016 by CIA Director John Brennan to President President Obama, VP Biden, AG Loretta Lynch, and FBI Director Comey. So that is, I mean, you're talking there. Obama, Biden, Clinton, CIA, FBI, all involved in this. It's potentially huge. This
is massive. These revelations are enormous. It's not enough to bring about incremental change. Reform will not be enough. This is why someone like RFK man, that guy's going to disrupt stuff because he's talking about changing things for real with the MIC, changing things for real with social media and big tech, investigating what's happened in the last couple of years. We need radical change. And one of the things about the cultural amnesia that we live within is it strips us of our heroes and the possibility of change. All of us have forgotten that it's possible to be heroic. All of us have forgotten that it's possible to live in a different way. All of us have been trained to ignore evidence such as we've just been presented, that people that have been presented as heroes, such as Obama and Clinton, are, it seems demonstrably, involved in a corrupt process. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, and I know loads of you guys love Donald Trump, I know you do, the fact is you can't just lie to undermine someone's presidency and then complain when that person uses comparable tactics and rejects the result of that election. Can you? Can you? Let me know in the chat. Press the red button. Join us in locals. And now it's time for an item that I'm calling Brandy on Gandhi, where I espouse the virtues of a truly great hero. Let's have a look at the graphic that introduces my item, Brandy on Gandhi. That's quite good. That's not bad. Russell's heroes. Bit flat.
Yeah.
Bit dull. Bit, I mean, at least he's only using, because Jack, who does our graphics, we worry about him. We worry that he struggles.
Yeah.
Like, he's only, at least he's using a consistent reference. He's using Top Gun music and Top Gun imagery, I suppose. Fair enough. But I think that I could talk about Gandhi.
It slightly suggests your heroes are tied to the military, though.
It does. It's like I'm part of the military-industrial complex. Mm. Yeah, why has he gone for that? Like, what I want to point out, right, when I started reading this book, rereading. Rereading this book.
You've
on
read
Mahatma
all the others.
Gandhi, rereading it, I realised that Mahatma Gandhi is perhaps the closest thing we have to a contemporary prophet, being alive but a century ago and having instilled potent principles like non-violence, civil disobedience, but also, and this is lesser understood, decentralization. And he dedicated his life to throwing off a colonial power, an evil empire that had taken over and oppressed his nation. Of course, it was the British Empire now, I would say, and with all due respect to you beautiful, beloved brothers and sisters over there in America, it's American imperialism that dominates the world through their unipolar hegemony that is threatened even by attempts by China to bring about world peace. You know, and I know China have their own agenda. I'm not naive. But when it comes to we, the people, the real people, we have to look to heroes and philosophies such as Gandhi's to understand the possibility for real change. Let's have a look at a bit of old news footage introducing this great man. It will encourage and inspire you. Now, you iconoclasts out there, I bet you're already frantically typing in the chat, and you can press that red button to join us in locals. Oh, he done a lot of crazy stuff. Of course he done crazy stuff. Of course he trained as a lawyer. Of course he was a person that was, that there's some weird stuff in his autobiography about sleeping in the same bed as his nieces or some sort of weird test. And I guess you just have to recognise that even the greatest people in the world are sort of a bit flawed, and maybe focus on these incredible things. And let's have a look at this Pathé news footage about Gandhi's visit to Britain and how he was derided in the most casual way. Listen to it.
Well, here we are at Folkestone, with the Biarritz coming alongside, and as Gandhi said, in proper English weather, pouring rain and bitterly cold. Miss Slade was the first ashore to tend to the luggage, that is, the goat's milk, etc.
Goat's milk, etc. That's what they've bought from India, sort of patronizing.
Yeah.
She was followed by Gandhi's son, and then came the little man, still scantily clad, but with an extremely wet blanket around his tiny frame.
So he's scantily clad and he's only got a tiny frame. He took it out of his body. Like, look at him. Imagine, if you will, his nutbag.
I'm sure he must have been frozen. We were in thick overcoats. He picked his way through the puddle.
This was different then.
It was, wasn't it?
He picked his way through the... I mean, it's still sort of propaganda. It's still inviting you to take a particular perspective on a great man. As Albert Einstein said of Gandhi, we will scarce believe that one such as this was incarnated in flesh and blood, that his life is so improbable, his self-sacrifice so astonishing, his achievement so remarkable that in just a generation or two, Einstein postulated he'd be regarded almost as a prophet. But I feel that our culture likes to destroy and deny us figures such as Gandhi, because the function of a hero is, I believe, to help us move from egoic thinking, individualistic, selfish thinking, to compassionate, higher self-motivated thought. That the journey of the hero is always to move from primary motivation to, I would say, a higher motivation. Now, I understand a word like higher has certain connotations. What I mean is selflessness and service. He had 11 vows, Gandhi, among them truth, control of the palate, non-stealing, just a sort of a simple set of principles, I guess. But earlier today, I was looking at Gandhi's 11th principle of Swadeshi. Listen to this, and listen to how this invites us to have personal autonomy, community control, but to a degree, global harmony. Gandhi was against, above all else, corrupt, centralized power and exploitation. I'm not saying Gandhi was a man without flaws. What's the point of advancing such an argument? What I'm saying is that in Gandhi and his philosophy, we have clues, codes, examples that can help us to change the world. It's not a coincidence that one of the most effective civil rights leaders of the last 50 years, Martin Luther King, was greatly inspired by Gandhi. There's a lot that all of us can learn from Gandhi, because do we not similarly toil under an empire much more insidious, much more invasive, much more powerful due to its invisibility and due to the fact that it doesn't let us know it's there? Listen to this principle, Swadeshi. You're going to love it. Swadeshi is the law of laws enjoined by the present age. The votary of Swadeshi is a person should, as a first duty, dedicate themselves to the service of their immediate neighbours. Pure service of our neighbours can never result in a disservice to those who are far away, but rather on the contrary. So first and foremost, be beautiful to the people that are around you. It's all well and good saying, oh, I really identify with the Uyghur people or the suffering people in Iran. All of these are valuable and significant and important causes. But if you, in your conduct, Gandhi is saying, are not being nice to the people that are around you, your family, your colleagues, your literal neighbours, did not our Lord Jesus Christ similarly say, love thy neighbor? And this word neighbor is significant because it means who is with you. Who is it that you can actually impact and affect? It's the people that are with you now. As we live in increasingly atomized worlds, detached from reality, living embalmed in formaldehyde screens, unable to have organic connection with another, Gandhi reminds us that morality and principles are things we can practice every day, but they're not meaningless. It's not glib. It's important. On the other hand, a man who allows himself to be lured by the distant scene and runs to the ends of the earth for service is not only foiled in his ambition, but also fails in his duty towards his neighbours. One must, as far as possible, purchase one's requirements locally and do not buy things imported from foreign lands, which can easily be manufactured in the country. So he is implying an economic policy in addition. Think about how people now talk about the problems that are inherent in outsourced labor, the problems of people not having work to do, the incoming AI revolution. Elsewhere, Gandhi talked about the dangers of technology in trinkets. The guy's writing in the 1940s. What would he make of a world where we're offered luxury, convenience, safety, pleasure in exchange for what? A kind of incarceration in technology.
AI, that leads me to think of
AI. Go on, mate. What do you mean?
Elon Musk, literally, we're talking about Elon Musk warning about the dangers of AI when he was talking about technology there. You know, he was onto something, you could say.
It's like a kind of prophet, because Gandhi's activism doesn't come from a kind of a secular perspective on simply organizing resources, although he touches, of course, on these things. It comes from a deep spiritual set of values that he enshrines here in this book. One must, as far as possible, purchase one's requirements locally. Do not buy things imported from foreign lands, which can easily be manufactured in your country. There is no place for self-interest in Swadeshi, which enjoins the sacrifice of oneself for the family, of the family for the village, of the village for the country, and of the country for humanity. That there are ever increasing circles of obligation to one another. Awaken in the self. Be of service to your family and neighbours. Love your wider community. Be aware of your place as a global citizen. This is the opposite of globalism. You are held within a superstructure of complex bureaucracies, governed by unelected organizations, supported by apparently philanthropic organizations that have billions that were hard won and difficult to explain. Peculiar billions come from relationships in big tech and the military. I'm speaking, of course, of organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I'm talking, of course, of organizations like the Clinton Foundation. I'm saying that what Gandhi was fundamentally interested in was personal freedom, but a personal freedom that's not about indulgence, that's not about glorification of the personal identity, but a kind of disavowing of that, an awakening to who you could be and how you can change and empower the world. That's Brandy on Gandhi this week. I expect there to be a graphic made for this next week, Jack in Graphics, and I don't want it to be patronising, glib, or racist, although having me appear somehow on, over, or next to Gandhi, I would be well into. Do you think you can manage that, Jack? Do you think? Let's have a look at Jack in the gallery.
Certainly enough pictures of you in blankets as well.
Yeah, there's me. Have you got any ideas, Jack? Look how he communicates like that. He never takes his eyes off the screen, and yet in all the time these eyes are on that screen, he's never once conceived of a worthwhile graphic, has he, in all of that time? All right, now, listen, we promised you this. That's why you've joined us over on Rumble, and if you're on Rumble right now, I say get into your... How about your face on Gandhi's T-shirt robe? Yeah, I like that, Firegirl 2020. Thanks, man. That's great. Brandy on Gandhi. This is nice. Thanks, Art by Wendy. Appreciate it. You can join the comments there by joining us on Locals. Now, when we were over on YouTube, we promised you a conversation with a brilliant medical man, a physician who cares, a man who puts his healing first, a man who's willing to confront institutional corruption. He's a family doctor and health activist. He's here to talk to us today. It's Dr. Bob Gill. Hello, Dr. Bob. Thanks for joining us. You've grown a full beard. You've lost weight. You look really, really different. What the hell's been going on?
Hi, Russell. Yeah, I wanted to come along and match yours and Gareth's beard, so I thought I'd join the club.
You have. I mean, you look sort of sexier, but you also look like you've been through something. Has anything... What's happened to you? What have you been doing? Have you been involved in activism? Have you got stuck into something?
No, I've been low-carbing, intermittent fasting, and I'm training for a rowing challenge at the moment, so I'm feeling good.
Look after the breath, Dr. Bob. Look after the breath. Intermittent fasting, get that lemon water down your neck first thing in the morning. That's what I will say to you.
You're giving medical advice to a doctor.
Look, I'm happy to hear it.
You give yourself a heart attack, mate. You want to watch out? You give yourself a Connery. Dr. Bob, thank you so much for joining us. The first thing we wanted to talk to you about was Monica Bertagnoli, a.k.a. the new Fauci. She previously received $290 million in funding from Pfizer. Is she an appropriate person to be working in the position that she is, when many people suspect that Anthony Fauci's ties to the pharmaceutical industry led to his mismanagement, some people are saying, of the pandemic, and possibly, you know, a lot of people talk about how Fauci handled the AIDS crisis 20 years earlier or so. What do you think about, like, these kind of figures that have had financial ties to big pharma being in government positions?
I think it's a very big problem. It doesn't bode well. This new appointee got Anthony Fauci's blessing. If you look at Joe Biden's record in office, it's not been very good in terms of improving America's healthcare. But the corporate lobby, the corporate entities, how do they hold power? They hold power through donations, they hold power through political contributions, they hold power through regulatory capture. And the NIH should be acting in the public interest. But when you have people heavily sponsored or funded by private business and drug companies, well, that raises the obvious question of conflicts of interest. You know, what are these people going to get in return for their investment? You know, in America, their healthcare system from the 1970s has drifted more and more into corporate control and away from providing cheap, effective healthcare for the population. And this seems to me a continue along that trajectory.
We have just found out that the United States spends more on healthcare than any other country, but life expectancy is going down. We've got a graph that demonstrates that. Can you talk us through why you imagine that this peculiar ascendancy is occurring?
Well, you can see the graph which compares the United States to Western developed countries. They started to drift away to the right and downwards. That means more expensive, lower life expectancy. And what they did back in the 70s was to adopt what's called a managed care model. And this was revealed via the Nixon tapes, where the person advocating this shift expressed very clearly that it was all about making more money. In fact, to quote from what was on the tapes, the less care you provide, the more money you make. So this was a starting point of a drift away from rational healthcare. But the other discrepancy, the American system is extremely bureaucratic. Up to $1 in every three goes out in administration, management, and shareholder dividend and CEO pay. So a lot of it is hemorrhaging. It's not delivering any healthcare. The way Big Pharma is regulated or lack of regulation means that they can profiteer and charge very high prices for drugs that we get a lot cheaper in this country. And there's also a perverse incentive. The more privatized a healthcare system is, potentially the more unnecessary interventions you get and the more waste there is due to fragmentation. So, you know, in the States, they have a very poorly developed primary care or family physician system, and they're dealing with problems downstream. There's no profit in prevention. They wait until the problems arise, and then they come up with very expensive solutions.
I'm minded of the conversation we had with Callie Means, a whistleblower against the food industries for whom he previously worked, who's joining us at the Community Festival in July. There's a link in the chat if you want to join us there. There are still some tickets available, and I'd love you to come, actually, Dr. Bob. He pointed out to us and made it sort of evident and clear that the food industry is irresponsible in the type of food that is promoted, that they, with their knowledge and understanding of like seed oils and processed food and sugars, that they could reduce, if not eliminate, diabetes, many types of heart disease, and even some cancers if they handled it responsibly. It seems sometimes like these companies are using human beings as a kind of chattel, sort of moving them from one market to another market, filling us up, because I'm a human being, I suppose, fundamentally, like filling us up with bad food, giving us bad advice. And health insurance companies are incentivized to make a patient's appear more ill than they actually are. It feels like systemically there are such serious problems, Doctor, that what's nothing less than a radical reevaluation and even the abolition of some of these systems is what's required. Tell us a little more about the way that health insurance companies function, if you would.
Yeah, so what you've referenced there is a type of fraud. It's a fraud called upcoding, whereby if you present a patient as being sicker than they really are, you can attract a greater fee when the government is paying. And what the private insurers are doing, they are increasing their expansion into the American healthcare by taking over the control of government-funded healthcare. So that includes Medicare and Medicaid. So these are two systems that the taxpayer funds. And the reason they have them is because the insurance industry wasn't interested in unprofitable patients. But now they've realized if we can get our hands on government funding as well, all the more profit for our shareholders. So they are expanding rather than their control being limited, which is what we were promised by Bernie Sanders and others. We were going to rein in the power of these companies, but exactly the opposite is taking place.
Do you think then a candidate like RFK, certainly based on what he's saying, could make a significant difference in this field? Do you need someone that's willing to go up against corporations? Do you need someone that's willing to confront the deep state to meaningfully make a difference in this area? I know Gareth got points on this subject. It's obviously an area that we're continually looking at. But what do you think about the possibility of change being induced by apparently radical candidates, although all they seem to me to be is authentic, honest and willing to go up against big power? You know, I'm talking about the likes of Marianne Williamson and RFK. Have you heard anything encouraging from those candidates?
Yeah, I heard your interview. I was captivated by, you know, I got lost track of the number of truth bombs he was dropping. The Kennedy family have history in trying to improve the conditions of normal people. His uncle was also responsible for introducing health reforms that did improve access to healthcare for working class people. You know, Robert Kennedy Jr. has a track record of looking after and advocating as a lawyer for environmental causes. And if you look at the root cause of ill health, well, it comes down to environment, it comes down to food, comes down to pollution, it comes down to stress. And we are living in a neoliberal economic structure which makes all those problems worse. You know, if you have a polluting company pouring poison into rivers, affecting the sea life, what we end up consuming, well, that's going to have a health effect. But at the moment, our economic model allows corporations to walk away from their environmental impact and the public pick up the tab. This is called an externality. So the profits are theirs, and the downside we have to pick up.
Dr. Bob, I'm sure you will be aware of the Stanford-designed PCR-type test that was able to diagnose whether non-symptomatic COVID patients were uninfectious, were not infectious. We were told, of course, that during the pandemic, that even if you weren't showing symptoms, you were likely still able to spread infection. There was a test that proved that this was not the case. That test was available as early as May 2020. Doesn't this seem to be yet another piece of evidence, Doctor, that the pandemic was handled in order to direct policy in a particular direction?
Yeah, there were lots of perverse incentives to be doing things that didn't really make sense. The PCR test in particular, if you repeat the cycle, then you amplify the signal so many times, then it can become, you're going to increase the false positive rate. And some of these companies were rewarded on the number of positive tests. So it increased the incentive for them to produce positive tests. So it was crazy. And the private companies that were outsourced to do this work, there wasn't much checking and regulation. So, you know, these positive tests on asymptomatic people was scientifically flawed. The PCR test itself was never meant as a screening tool. It was meant as a scientific tool to be used in research. So, you know, Fauci and co. managed to have a very expensive and unsuccessful management of a pandemic, which just happened to enrich a lot of corporations.
That's just a side effect. One of the only side effects that can actually be openly discussed due to the way that this narrative has been controlled. Have you got anything to add, my dear and beloved friend?
Oh, just a point, Dr. Bob, about...
If you don't mind.
Yes. A quick question about just returning to what you were saying about drug prices. There was a new report that's come out that's saying American families are spending $40 billion extra a year pharmaceutical companies are making illegal decisions. So these are illegal anti-competitive schemes that pharmaceutical companies deploy to basically boost their profits. This is a way of keeping generic medicines, which would be far cheaper for the American public, for things like cancer drugs, blood pressure drugs, things like that. When it's been reported that these are now illegal anti-competitive schemes, and we're hearing that the new head of the NIH is receiving almost $300 million from Pfizer, are these the kind of, when you're talking about what are they getting in return, is it things like you won't be taken to court or you won't go to prison for illegal activities? Like, are these some of the kind of bargains that you're kind of alluding to?
Yeah, well, you have a charade of regulation in the States. Let's say a company like who produced OxyContin, the Sackler family, you know, 500,000 people died as a result of opiate addiction and the consequence of opiate addiction, but nobody goes to prison. They pay a fine. The fine is often a fraction of the profit that they've earned. And then we've moved on to the next tragedy, right? So this is a pattern of regulation that does not effectively deter, does not effectively punish, and no CEO is held accountable. And similarly, if you're sponsoring politicians and you fund the regulators, well, you're not going to get effective legislation. So you have a bar on legislation that protects the public, and that's what the companies buy with their influence.
Wow, what an incredible piece of information. Dr. Bob, quite understandably and justifiably, you are getting a lot of love in our chat over on Locals. You can join that by pressing the red button. Not you, Doctor, you're too busy for any of that. But people here are just saying that they're enjoying your own truth bombs. They're commenting on the incredible revelations that you've provided in this conversation. And I'd like to add to that my personal gratitude for the great work you do and restoring some faith and helping me to believe that that in the main, physicians and medics care about people, and even institutions of research are about prolonging and improving human life. And it's just that somehow we found ourselves co-opted by sort of corrupt and malign systems. But together there is a hope, because if we have new voices of leadership and change, such as yours, we can all rally behind you. So thanks a great deal, Dr. Bob.
Thank you very much, Russell. Thanks, Gareth.
keep looking after yourself. Keep losing the weight. You look very, very, very sexy. Mm. You can follow Dr. Bob's work on Twitter. He's at Dr. B. Gill. Okay, follow him over there on Elon Musk's Citadel of Truth. Shall we see? Before I go, sexy pervert, did I say? Yeah, that's what the unicorn plug saying down there.
Let's see if he's replied. In the chat. I think we all know the answer to that.
Hold on. Fantastic. Oh, no. That's my last message. You know when you do a voice note, the voice note just disappears. No return message from Elon yet. Guys, we're going to... But don't worry. Do you reckon we'll be able to get Elon
of course
on
we
by
will.
Next week?
Well, I'm not sure by next week.
Why not?
Well, we'll give it a go.
I think we will be able to. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us over there on Locals. We've put Dr. Bob's information into the chat. Now, we've got a fantastic piece of journalism to show you right now. We're going to look at, like, over the course of the week, some great stuff coming up. We're going to be talking to a spy who's going to blow the whole bloody lid off this game, aren't we? An actual wide-eyed spy based in Brussels who's willing to blow the bloody lid on the whole thing. The CIA, the MI5s, the FBIs, all of them. Aren't you, Gail?
Yep.
This spy, we're really making some headway. But now, and get over there, join us in Locals, join the chat. Why don't we? And this is just a suggestion.
Oh, go on then.
Why don't you
strap
kiss
in
me,
for this?
You mad fool? why don't we now have a deeper look?
You're doing an Elon, aren't you? Are you trying to put pauses?
Yeah, I'm doing more pauses.
Right.
I'm very confident in myself.
I thought that's what you were doing.
I am. I'm like Elon. I'm minded to think of the film Goonies. Didn't it go in Goonies? The one called Chunk.
That's
wasn't
right.
There? So
Truffle Shuffle.
The Truffle Shuffle. Think about what, you sons of bitches. hey, like, you want to know more about that story we were just talking about, right? The CDC, how people that were asymptomatic, oh, you better wear a mask, you better never go out your house, you better take all these expensive experimental medicines because otherwise you killed your nan. You're just another Harold Shipman. You're just another nan. What are you looking over there for? Is that the right... Am I teeing up the right content?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's true.
Well, it doesn't say it. It says that...
I know. I think it's wrong.
Well, we didn't have time to put that together.
It's not that one.
I don't like it, but I got to live with it. Actually, no. No, I've learned a little something.
His mind.
I've learned a little something from a man called Gandhi. I'm getting, because one of Gandhi's principles.
Oh, not this again.
Gandhi on Gandhi. What do you mean not this again? This is good. Truth at Home by Gandhi. Yeah, that's right. Join us in Locals. You join us. Well, just wash your hands and don't touch your face. That's good advice, Nature's Child, at any time of the year for someone like Gareth Roy. Have you heard what he does at barbecues? He farted a sausage out of his own mouth. Truth is the first principle. Yeah, that's on Football Is Nice, one of the things we do here. Not this again with Gareth, says Sonny B. Truth! The first of Gandhi's 11 vows for my item, Brandy on Gandhi. Mm. Good item. I'd like to see Brandy spelt with a H-I, same as Gandhi.
Nice.
I'd like to see me dressed in a blanket.
Yes.
Me and Gandhi like that. I don't know. And then maybe some sort of Indian sounding music. I don't know.
All right. Cultural appropriation.
Got to do what you got to do.
Sure.
So, got to do what you got to do in a situation like that. Okay, so truth. Truth is God. Devotion to this is the sole justification for our existence. Without truth, it's impossible to observe any principles or rules in life. There shall be truth in thought, truth in speech, and truth in action. Second principle, ahisma, or love. Truth alone is being God himself. And the only means of realizing it is ahisma, or love. Without ahisma, it's not possible to seek and find truth. Not to hurt any living thing is no doubt part of ahisma, but it is its least expression. For the principle of ahisma is hurt by every evil thought, by hatred, by wishing ill to anybody. It's also violated by our holding on to what the world needs. Right, we've got to commit ourselves to truth. We've got to recognize that our consciousness is the crucible of reality, that if we imagine new worlds, that we can create them. I don't mean in some sort of crazy, wacky, woo-woo, ooh, the secret way. I mean that first, you have to acknowledge there's a problem. Second, you have to believe that change is possible. Third, you have to be willing to live by a new doctrine in order to create new realms. And I think this is what we can do together.
Yeah, the FBI should have read a bit of Gandhi, shouldn't they?
I should have read that, guys, before you went and Russia-gated us into a bunch of lies, bringing Obama into the mix, Clinton in the mix. The FBI, this is really funny, actually, this story, because I knew they were lying. We're going to go now, because I've got to go to Eton for reasons I'll explain to you later. Join us tomorrow, not for more of the same, but for more of the different. In the meantime, enjoy this. on Here's the News. That Russiagate thing, man, it was double, double shady. And we are going to amuse you, please you, tease you and squeeze you with some sweet, sweet facts. Get ready, baby. I know you can take it. Stay awake and stay free. See you tomorrow. For more, not for more of the same, for more of the different. Ta-ta. Thank you for choosing Fox News.
No, here's the fucking news.
Whatever you think about Donald Trump, we now know that Russiagate was a lie.